sitting down with and speaking with and picking their brain. How did they operate? How did they think through the things that they did with their lives? Maybe you would like to speak to a great leader. Maybe you would like to speak to an athlete. Maybe you'd like to speak to an actor. I think one of the people that I would really like to have a conversation with would be Winston Churchill. Think about the number of people that this man impacted in his life. We, sitting here this morning, are impacted by the life of Winston Churchill. A man who fought against Nazi Germany, who led the nation of Britain against Nazi Germany, who gave inspiring speeches. What was that like for him, I wonder? This was a man who was revered by so many. King Solomon was like that. King Solomon was someone whose fame grew far and wide. King Solomon was someone that people desired the opportunity just to come and hear from him, just to hear his wisdom. Of course, we know this was the result of what happens in 1 Kings chapter 3 when God says, Solomon, I will give you whatever you ask. What is it that you would like? And Solomon says, Lord, I'm not sure I'm fit to run this nation. I'm not sure that I can do what I need to do the way that my father David did. I'm not sure that I can handle this. So you know what I need is wisdom. And so God grants Solomon this wisdom, and God is so impressed by Solomon's humility. He says, not only are you going to be wiser than anybody around, you're also going to be blessed with more riches and more prosperity than anyone around. And so Solomon became someone who was sought after, someone who many would travel long distances just to hear him. And in 1 Kings chapter 10, I want you to open your Bibles there. In 1 Kings chapter 10, we have an example of someone who traveled a great distance to hear from Solomon. First Kings chapter 10, and I want us to read together. We'll start reading with verse 1. Now when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to test him with hard questions. She came to Jerusalem with a very great retinue, with camels bearing spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she came to Solomon, she told him all that was on her mind. And Solomon answered all her questions. There was nothing hidden from the king that he could not explain to her. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he had built, the food of his table, the seating of his officials, and the attendance of his servants, their clothing, his cupbearers, and his burnt offerings that he offered at the house of the Lord, there was no more breath left in her. And she said to the king, "The report was true that I heard in my own land of your words and your wisdom. But I did not believe the reports until I came and my own eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Your wisdom and prosperity surpassed the report that I heard. Happy are your men. Happy are your servants who continually stand before you and hear your wisdom. Blessed be the Lord your God who has delighted in you and set you on the throne of Israel. Because the Lord loved Israel forever, he has made you king that you may execute justice and righteousness. Then she gave the king 120 talents of gold and a very great quantity of spices and precious stones. Never again came such an abundance of spices as these that the queen of Sheba gave to Solomon. Moreover, the fleet of Hiram, which brought gold from Ophir, brought from Ophir a great quantity, a very great amount of almug wood and precious stones. And the king made of the almug wood supports for the house of the Lord and for the king's house, also lyres and harps for the singers. And no such almug wood has come or been seen to this day. And King Solomon gave to the queen of Sheba all that she desired, whatever she asked, besides what was given her by the bounty of King Solomon. So she turned and went back to her own land with her servants. This and the parallel passage in 2 Chronicles is almost all we have on the Queen of Sheba in Scripture. She comes to inquire of Solomon to find out what the big deal is. She has heard that he is incredibly wise. And she says, I didn't believe it. I really wasn't sure that what I was hearing was true. But then she says, not only is it true, but I wasn't even told the half of it. Isn't that unusual? Usually it's the other way around, isn't it? Fish stories, right? We exaggerate things. We get really excited about something we've seen. We're impressed by something we've heard, and we exaggerate and we blow it up in our minds, and then somebody else experiences it and they say, what in the world was the big deal? But the Queen of Sheba says, I really wasn't sure that it was as great here to be in your presence as I was told, and it turns out it's even better than I expected. Now that's some impressive wisdom by Solomon. And I love how it's described that she was breathless there hearing from Solomon as she asked him one hard question after another, almost like being interviewed by the deacons here, right? But I want us to take just a moment and think about what the Queen of Sheba has actually done at this point. You see, Sheba, or Seba, is actually down here at the bottom of the map in modern-day Yemen, on the southern end of the Saudi Arabian Peninsula. And Jerusalem is all the way at the other end on the border, or bordering the Mediterranean Sea. And so from one point to the other, as the crow flies anyway, that is 1,400 miles that the Queen of Sheba traveled to go hear from Solomon. However, the Queen of Sheba was not a crow. Okay? She didn't fly. And so most likely this trip took her much, much longer than 1,400 miles, because the most direct route would have taken her through the desert, which would not have been favorable, of course. And so she most likely would have stayed somewhat near to the border of the Red Sea. And on top of that, did you notice the description of all that is with her? Not only all the people that are with her, but all the gifts that she brings all the way to Jerusalem, to Solomon. This is a pretty big caravan. You may have heard the old African proverb, I think it is, says, if you want to travel fast, travel alone. If you want to travel far, travel together. Queen of Sheba was not alone. This was not a quick trip. Those of you that have children know exactly what I mean when I say there are so many ways to slow down a trip. What I want us to recognize here is that what we're talking about is not several hours to get to New Jerusalem. We're not even talking about several days to get to Jerusalem. It would have taken weeks for the Queen of Sheba to get all the way to Jerusalem. One way. Weeks it took her. She travels all this way just to find out if Solomon really is who he says, who she has heard he is. And when she's on her way home, it seems she's satisfied. She's convinced that it was worth this kind of journey just to go hear from Solomon. It was worth traveling weeks in each direction just to go hear from the wisdom of Solomon. That is how wise Solomon was. That's how impressive Solomon was. Now, why in the world does that matter? What does that matter to us? Well, it just so happens that the only other time in Scripture that the Queen of Sheba is mentioned is in Matthew chapter 12. In Matthew chapter 12, Jesus is being challenged by the Sadducees and the Pharisees to prove that he is who he claims to be. Essentially, what they come to Jesus and say is, if you really are the Messiah, we need a sign. We need some evidence that you are who you say you are. Otherwise, we're not going to listen to you. You have to prove it to us. And in his response to that challenge, one of the things that Jesus says is in verse 42. He says, the queen of the south will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, something greater than Solomon is here. Do you hear what Jesus is saying? Do you hear the challenge that he gives them right back? He says, here is this queen who had all the advantages you would expect a queen to have. She had all the wealth, all the power, all the influence, all that she would ever need or ever want in her lifetime. And yet she was willing to travel all this distance. She came from the ends of the earth, Jesus describes it. She goes all this distance to come and just hear of the wisdom of Solomon. She's willing to go all that way, travel weeks to hear from Solomon, and it turns out she was impressed so much by it that she was satisfied going home. She thought it was worth all that journey just to hear from Solomon, and hear all of you have something greater than Solomon standing right in front of you, and you won't believe it. She traveled miles and miles and miles to come and hear from Solomon, and you won't take the first step of faith. I worry, though, that the condemnation in Jesus' voice as he spoke these words to these scribes and Pharisees, might not all be all that different today. If Jesus were to stand up here in front of all of us, I worry that he might say something very similar. That he might say, "You're missing out. You're missing out on something so much greater because you're wasting all of your time and all of your energy and all of your lives on things that don't matter." You know, we have it pretty good here in 2016, United States of America. We have a lot of freedoms that many in history have never experienced. We have opportunities that are unlike most generations before us. We have advancements in technology when they work. We have advancements in technology in areas like medicine and agriculture that help us live longer and healthier lives. We are extremely blessed. And yet, I wonder if we're missing out on something greater. You see, the temptation is, with all of these freedoms and all of these opportunities, is we see this and we want to take advantage of absolutely as much as possible. We want to spend as much time taking advantage of the education opportunities for our kids and the athletic opportunities for our kids, and we spend all of our time looking for ways to get our lives in line and take care of our retirement so that we can live a happy, a comfortable life at that point. And we spend all of our time worried about this and that. But the reality is, if we spend all of our time and all of our energy and all of our efforts on those things, we are absolutely missing out. We are missing out on something greater. Because what is greater is what Jesus Christ has to offer to us. Because what's greater than all that exists in this world, all the opportunities and all the advancements, is what lies beyond this life. You see, we spend so much time worried about the physical that we forget about the spiritual. If we want greater wisdom, it's available to us. Greater wisdom, even greater than Solomon's wisdom, is available to us. But it's not from Dr. Phil. It's not in a self-help book. It's in the Word of God. It's right there ready for us. And yet, what do? We say, "Why? I just don't have time. I don't have time for regular, serious Bible study. There's so many things going on in my life right now that I just don't have the time for that." Do we realize what we're saying? Do we realize what we are missing out on when we make that choice? Something greater than Solomon is here. Greater strength is available to us right here in the family of God. If you want to know how to survive tragedy, how to stand persecution and pain and suffering, Talk to a brother or sister who's gone through it. And they'll tell you, it's God's family. Without this that we have right here, I don't know how we'd make it through. The strength that we have available to us in the fellowship of believers is unlike anything else we have available to us in this life. Nothing else in this world compares. Are we taking advantage of that? In John chapter 10, Jesus says, I came that they may have life. And if Jesus stopped there and didn't say anything else, it would be profound. But that's not all he says, is it? He says, I've came that they may have life and have it abundantly. When all we focus on is this life in this world, we're missing out on that abundant life that Jesus has to offer. We're missing out on all the spiritual blessings that are available to us when we focus only on the physical. Are you missing out this morning? I hope not. I hope that you aren't missing out. I pray that you are taking full advantage of all that God has to offer you, but it may be that you have been focused so much on the physical that you have neglected the spiritual with your life. And you have been missing out on what God has to offer you. And I hope that you will recognize that if the Queen of Sheba was willing to travel all that distance, if she was willing to do all it took just to come and hear from Solomon, I hope that you recognize that what Jesus has to offer you is so much more than what Solomon had to offer her. And I hope that you're taking advantage of that. This morning, it may be that you need to make some changes in your life. You may need to adjust the focus of your life. And if that's the case, I hope that you will allow this congregation to wrap its arms around you and provide you with the encouragement that you need to make whatever changes need to be made. It may be that one of those changes, one of the things that you have yet to take advantage of, one of the things that you are missing out on is the hope that we have in Jesus Christ because of the sacrifice that He made for our sins. Perhaps what you are missing out on is the grace and forgiveness that we have because of His blood. And if that's the case, I hope you don't leave here this morning without being baptized into Jesus Christ so that His blood can wash away your sins, so that you can live a new life in Him. Don't miss out. Don't miss out on what God has to offer you. If there's any way that we can help you with that this morning, I hope that you'll let us know while together we sing.